This is Molly Hemingway of The Federalist. Join me, my husband Mark of Real Clear Investigations, 12-time All-American swimmer Riley Gaines, Aaron Wren of The American Conservative, and others for the 2024 Making the Case Conference, Friday, July 12th and Saturday, July 13th at Concordia University, Chicago. Learn more at issuesetc.org. Making the Case, July 12th and 13th in Chicago. issuesetc.org.
We've now heard, an hour and a half of argument on this case. And one potentially very important phrase in EMTALA has hardly been mentioned. Maybe it hasn't even been mentioned at all. And that is EMTALA's reference to the woman's quote-unquote unborn child. Isn't that an odd phrase to put in a statute that imposes a mandate to perform abortions? Have you ever seen an abortion statute that uses the phrase unborn child?
It's not an odd phrase when you look at what Congress was doing in 1989. There were well-publicized cases where women were experiencing conditions, their own health and life were not in danger, but the fetus was in grave distress and hospitals weren't treating them.
Well,
so what Congress did is that
you seen abortion statutes that use the phrase unborn child? Doesn't that tell us something?
That is Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito and U.S. Solicitor General Elizabeth Prelogar. Why is the Biden administration attempting to use a law that was intended to secure treatment for pregnant women and their unborn children in ERs, a national law, to allow ER doctors to perform abortions in Idaho? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Joining us to discuss oral arguments heard today by the U.S. Supreme Court in an Idaho abortion case, Carol Tobias, president of National Right to Life. Carol, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd. It's great to be on.
The U.S. Supreme Court heard oral arguments today in the case Moyle v. United States. What do we need to know about this case?
There is a federal law that says emergency rooms have to take care of people that present with medical emergency conditions. The state of Idaho has a law that says unborn children are going to be protected, and the only reason that they would allow for an abortion is if the mother's life is in danger. The Biden administration is trying to change that national law so that hospitals, emergency rooms, would have to accept women coming in with so-called health conditions and provide an abortion if that is what the woman requests. So the state of Idaho, of course, trying to protect their law and rejecting, you know, a federal law trying to mandate what they have to do in certain circumstances, challenged that, and they ended up in the Supreme Court today.
So tell us a little bit more about this Emergency Medical Treatment and Active Labor Act.
The act, short term, it just called EMTALA, Emergency Medical Treatment and Active Labor Act, was established by Congress in 1986. It's been around for 38 years. If someone presents themselves at a medical emergency room or hospital emergency room, they are to be taken care of and treated. Apparently, prior to this time, there were people that would show up at the emergency room, and if they didn't have insurance or didn't have the resources to pay for their care, they were not treated and basically pushed back out onto the curb. So Congress said, no, if they present themselves at to your emergency room with an emergency, you have to take care of them. That includes a pregnant woman who is, you know, a distressed pregnancy, something is going wrong. You have to take care of her. You have to stabilize her. But the law specifically says that they are to do what they can to help both mother and child, and abortion is never mentioned. Well, the Biden administration is trying to take this law and now, 38 years later, tell hospitals that that includes abortion and under the health exception that the Supreme Court established, which means medical, physical, mental health, whatever it might be. If the woman presents herself and says, health, I want an abortion, the hospitals have to participate. And that's what the Supreme Court will now be deciding. Can the Biden administration turn our emergency rooms into abortion facilities?
So how is this a case of the Biden administration attempting to mandate abortion in all 50 states, not just Idaho?
There are several states that have tight regulations as to when or if an abortion would be allowed. Some of them are life of the mother only. Some have extended circumstances. It might be long-lasting severe physical health damage to the mother, but it's very tightly controlled. The Biden administration does not like those laws because they think abortion should be allowed for any reason in all 50 states. So they are using the federal EMTALA law to try to force hospitals in all 50 states to provide basically abortion on demand if someone comes into the emergency room and says, health concern, life concern, mental concern, I want an abortion.
Why is the Biden administration determined to nationalize Roe?
Partly because the Democratic Party has gone so completely off the deep end when it comes to abortion. They deny it or they won't admit it, but their position really is abortion for any reason through all 9 months of pregnancy. And right now they think that's where the American public is, and that's the best campaign issue they have. They're not doing well on the economy. They're not doing well on the immigration. They're not doing well in a lot of areas, but they think abortion is somehow going to be their silver bullet. So you are going to see Vice President Harris and President Biden campaigning on abortion through November in any area that they can.
How do you respond to those who are saying that as a result of the Idaho law, OBGYNs are leaving the state?
I have a hard time believing that they are leaving because of that. If you think of, a doctor in a smaller area, smaller hospital, fewer doctors, they're probably on call more often. It might be a nice place to live, but maybe more demanding because there aren't as many doctors around to share the load. Bigger cities, bigger hospitals are going to have the fancier, newer equipment, testing supplies, whatever it might be. So I can see why for many medical doctors, the bigger hospitals would actually be the bigger draw. There was a report released earlier this spring from medical students. Where did they seek residency? How did they end up there? Why did they go where they went? And I think this author was actually kind of disappointed that abortion wasn't the reason that these residents were not seeking placement in rural areas. It was more whether it would be family or convenience. So there certainly may be some doctors leaving the state. But if they've been practicing in that state for a long time, they know the culture. And I would be very surprised that we're seeing a big shift in doctors leaving pro-life states.
How do you expect the court to rule in this case? The early word via social media is the court is skeptical of the Biden administration's claims.
I certainly hope they are. The Solicitor General for the United States arguing for the Biden administration, maybe reluctantly, but did acknowledge in court that even mental distress from a woman coming in saying she's mentally ill or the doctors determine that she has some mental issues and needs other care, that that would still be a reason to provide her an abortion. So I think having to admit that they have no limits on what the term health means, I certainly hope that the court is going to look at it and realize that what they would be doing is opening the laws of all 50 states, opening the emergency rooms in all 50 states to abortion on demand. And I don't think that the court is going to allow that or go that far.
Carol Tobias is president of National Right to Life. You'll find a link to National Right to Life at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Carol, thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome. Thanks, Todd.
When we come back, we'll talk about the Lord's Prayer and Christian prayer with Pastor Peter Bender of the Concordia Catechetical Academy.
At the heart of Lutherans for Life is good news. Good news that brings hope to a culture so focused on death. Lutherans for Life equips Lutherans and their neighbors to be gospel-motivated voices for life. Lutherans for Life believes God gives the gift of life to all people, from the moment of conception until natural death. Learn more about how you and your congregation can help bring hope and healing to life issues at lutheransforlife.org.
Psalm 144:1. Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. Those serving in the armed forces want LCMS chaplains. We need courageous pastors to bring the gospel and sacraments to those protecting our nation, along with wise counsel and the peace found only in Christ Jesus. If you are between the age of 26 and 43 and have a heart for ministry in the armed forces, call 314-996-1337 or email lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Lutheranism in the Public Square. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Lord has gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. These gifts can be received every week at both Grace Lutheran Church and Trinity Lutheran Church in Wichita, Kansas. Join us for divine services at Grace on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m., as well as every Wednesday at 11 a.m., or at Trinity every Sunday at 11 a.m. Grace is located at 3310 East Pawnee and Trinity at 611 South Erie. Gather with us around our Lord and His giving His gifts to us. See you soon.
I am beautiful because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
I am accepted because I'm a part of His family through Jesus' shed blood.
Unity Lutheran School in East St. Louis, Illinois, shines the light of Christ in one of the most impoverished cities in America. Learn how to support their mission work at unityesl.org. Unityesl.org.
Today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I say yes to God in His ways.